verse 1 and 2. You're falling off. Verse 1 and 2 is talking about faith that we can have in God in times of trouble. We talked a little bit last week about David spent a lot of time in the wilderness and running for his life and running from Saul. And this may have something to do with, in 1 Samuel, we're not going to turn back there, but in 1 Samuel 21 and 22, when he went to Nob and he took Goliath's sword, and right after that, Saul had the priests of Nob killed. So I ask you, what gives David joy? In verse 3 to 5, the psalmist talks, which is David, talks about expressing joy. What did y'all have that can give David joy? It can give us joy.
So loving kindness of God.
Yes.
Always watching over us.
Mm-hmm.
He's our refuge.
Our refuge, yes.
His wings. This kind of summed up the whole psalm and said what brought David joy was remembering and meditating on God and all the things that God has done for him.
Okay. I had having fellowship with God, and throughout this, we look at David and we can apply this to ourselves. Everything that David had, we can have as long as we follow his commandments. And knowing he is there, I think Carol mentioned the shelter of your wings. Psalm 61:4 says, I will trust in the shelter of your wings. And also Psalms 91:4 says, under his wings you shall take refuge. So we can have that. We all go through difficulties and times of trouble. In verse 6, Pat mentioned meditating. Verse 6 talks about, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. We also talked last week about how this is some things I've experienced. At night, sometimes things might seem worse, and in the morning, they're much better. But David's talk about meditating. Meditating is not sitting down and reading scripture for 5 minutes, and oh, I got to get up and go mow the yard or whatever. Meditating is reading his word and thinking about it and seeing how we can apply it to our lives, given it some thought and spending time thinking about it. And then in verse 9 and 10 is the other side, talking about the destruction of his enemies. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go to the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. We've talked before about the confidence that David had, and the same confidence we can have when we seek the Lord. Anything else on Psalm 63? Okay. Let's look at Psalm 65. Pat, would you read that?
There will be silence before you as praise in Zion, O God, and to you the vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all men come. And if you say, for our transgressions, you forgive them. How blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us in righteousness, O God of our salvation. You who are the trust of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest sea, who establishes the mountains by his strength, being girded with might, who spills the roaring sea, the roaring of the waves, and the tumult of the people. They who dwell in the ends of the earth stand in awe of your signs. You make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. You visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water. You prepare their grain, for thus you prepare the earth. You water its furrows abundantly. You settle its riches. You soften it with showers. You bless its growth. You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths drip with fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip, and the hills gird themselves with rejoicing. The meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy. Yes, they sing.
Okay. This psalm is talking about praise to God for his salvation and providence. There's a lot we can learn in this psalm about how God provides for us. Verse 1 through 5 is talking about praising God for the blessings that he gives us. And verse 6 through 13 is talking about his benefits to all mankind. Verse 2, it's talking about how all men should pray to God. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. So David is saying that all men should be prayerful. And then verse 3 is talking about confidence. We've talked about confidence in almost every psalm. David, last week we talked about no matter what all David did, he had confidence in God. And he knew that he could go to God, and no matter what he had done, he didn't doubt that God would hear him and that he was there. I ask you, why is God praised? What things did y'all have for this?
His mind power. His abundant things to the whole earth.
Yes. I had for his rich provision in nature, fulfillment of his promise and mercy in forgiving sins, the wonders that he works in nature and all mankind should acknowledge, and the showers which he sends that fertilize the earth. Where would the earth be without the rain? Where would anything be without the rain? Talking about nature, the birds and all the little animals have to have the rain to survive. The plants and the flowers and everything. Let's look at verse 9 talks about you visit the earth and water it and enrich it. And talks about the river of God full of water. You provide their grain. They have to have something to eat. You have prepared it. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. Twelve, they drop on the pastures of the wilderness. The little hills rejoice on every side. Pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. It's just when we think of nature and God's provisions, it's just endless what God does. Verse 11 is talking about after the rain, the harvest. So we need to, this is something we can be thankful for. We need to, this is one of many things we need to think about. Anything on Psalm 65? Okay, let's look at Psalm 67. This is talking about our walk, and also what our walk should be, and also is talking about again what God has done for us. Lauren, can you read?
God is merciful to us and bless us. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, and your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God, that all the peoples praise you. For let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God, and all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us in all the ends of the earth.
You see, in this psalm, David says over and over, let people praise you, let people praise you. This is something we need to do. We need to praise God. Verse 3 talks about praising God. Verse 5 talks about magnifying God for all of our blessings. We talked at the beginning of our class how when we're thankful, that magnifies God. And so this is what David's talking about. I ask you, what is David asking for? I don't know if that was real clear. One thing he was asking for, of course, we just talked about everybody praising God, but also I see in here the enlargement of his kingdom. More people praising God and more people serving God. And then what is the exhortation? Yes. Everyone, all nations, all people. Verse 3, it says, let the people praise you. And then it repeats that. Verse 4, I think, is saying the same thing. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. That's a way of praising God. And then verse 5 talks about let the people praise you. It repeats that twice. Verse 6 talks about God blessing us. And then he ends up with saying, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. We need to remember that God does bless us, and we need to praise God for that. Any comments on 67? Okay. Turn to Psalms 99. I've got a couple more. That's all that I had given y'all. I didn't know how the timing was going to work out. In this psalm, we want to look and see why we should praise the Lord. This is another aspect, or another, it's not different, it's just another psalm of praising the Lord and seeing why we should. Carol, would you read Psalms 99?
The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim, let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is exalted among all peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The strength of the king loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, and yet an avenger of their evil deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God.
Okay, the first thing we notice in verse 3 and verse 5 and verse 9, it says, he is holy. So this is one reason we need to praise God, because he is holy. Verse 1 and 2 talks about the empire of God in the world and among his people. He does marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. is made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. And many songs we're going to see about the righteousness of God. It's going to talk about how we can see his righteousness. He's made known his salvation. We have his salvation. We need to always be thankful for that and praise God. Verse 3 says, he ought to be praised. I was reading Psalms 98. I just realized that. I'm sorry. Verse 3 said, let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. So he ought to be praised. This is not questionable. This is something that needs to be. Verse 4 talks about his justice and his judgment. It says he loves justice. He has executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Verse 5 through 8, he should be worshipped as among the saints of old, whom he graciously answered and saved. Verse 6 and verse 8 both talk about how God has answered. We've talked about this before. Now, we have confidence that God will answer our prayers. Verse 6 and then verse 8, you answered them, O Lord our God. So, do we have confidence that God's going to answer our prayers?
You know, in verse 7 it says they kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. So these weren't men that just went off and did their own thing. They followed what God had told them to do. And that's why God took care of them.
Okay.
In the very first verse, it's talking about he reigns and he's enthroned, so he is God.
Mm-hmm.
Along with your praise.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And then David ends the psalm telling us we need to exalt God because he is holy. Think about Nadab and Abihu. They didn't appreciate the fact that God was holy. And it caused all kinds of problems, and many, many, many people died because of that. Okay, anything else? Okay, I'm going to leave you with Psalms 100. This again is talking about praising the Lord. It's going to tell us that all nations, again, are to praise God. It's talking about God being sovereign, talks about him being a creator, and talks about us being the flock of his pasture. We need to worship him publicly and be grateful for his mercies. Let's read that. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. His truth is never going to change. The truth of the Bible is it was the same in the days of Adam and Eve, and it hasn't changed from then to today. God's goodness is based on his love and his truth.
Mine says on 5, faithfulness to all generations.
Okay.
What did yours say, Sarah?
For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
Mine sometimes when I hear our singing in places we go to visit, our singing here is pretty good a lot most of the time. There's some places and they are so slow and they sing like they work to sing. Instead of singing joyfully, I know some songs are designed to be thoughtful and slow, but even the ones sometimes that we should be happy about, it sounds like we're just trudging to get through and getting over there. Singing can be the
said, make a joyful shout. It's public acknowledgement. And I think that's the definition of praise, is public acknowledgement and thankfulness. So we looked at a few psalms at the end of our class on Thanksgiving. Praising God and being thankful, to me, is the same thing. And this is what we need to do. As we've said often, we need to be thankful, and I know y'all are thankful, I believe that, but we need to remember. Any comments?
One comment I would have, Kendra, is we need to be thankful that we live in the time we do where God's Word is so prevalent. It's in every language for anybody who wants to read it. I think about when in the Old Testament times, I know David wrote Psalms, but how many people had the availability pick those up and read them, and the same thing to Solomon's writing in the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. They didn't have printing presses, and it wasn't readily available to everybody. Everybody today can read God's Word. Anybody who has a phone can read God's Word. Anybody, Bibles are very affordable for people who really want them. Mm-hmm. And so we have that. That's a great blessing that God has given us, that we live in the age and time we do, where we don't have to depend on somebody God's Word to us. We can read it for ourselves, so we know that they're not adding or taking away something.
And I would add to that, don't fall into the trap of thinking you're too busy. I know we're all busy. We have some weeks are busier than others. Some weeks are just impossible. But don't fall into the trap of thinking you're too busy. I don't have time. We have to make time, because we do have that readily available and in print.
Steve has a saying that's not new with him, but we need to learn to shell the urgent to do the important. Sometimes there are things we just think are so urgent, but there are some things that are more important than even what we find is so urgent. And one of them is studying God's Word, taking time to pray, reading to our children, spending time in God's Word, because days pass into weeks, and weeks pass into months, and months and years, and we lose so many opportunities thinking we don't have time.
One day you'll wake up and your children will be 35.
Or 50.
Yeah. I love that saying you're talking about. The very first sermon I heard preached on that was here at Humble, and I'm pretty sure it was James Wilson. That was the first time I heard that, and then I've heard Steve also talk about it. Well, thank you very much for coming. Thank you all for your comments. You all had good comments and added to the class, and I appreciate it very much, and thank you also for your encouragement. And I'm looking forward very much.